Jokuhai Audio Podcast 217, take one.
Hi, everybody. Jokuhai here. Welcome to another edition of my podcast. Good to have you with me today. Thank you for joining me and finding me out here in the wilderness known as the Internet. The wild and woolly Internet. It's like the old Wild West. Yeah, but thank you for joining me today. I do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can find all the links to all of my podcasts as they're produced and released and erased just by following me on Facebook, or you can visit my website, joe-kuhai, that's C-U-H-A-J.com. And there you'll find all the links to the podcasts, information about my books, and my latest writings and musings, and you'll find a contact link as well. If you'd like to drop me a line, ask me a question, what have you, feel free to do so, and I would love to hear from you. So here it is, early February when I'm recording this. I'm in my humble, very humble, little recording studio recording this for you, and we're just exiting our winter time here on the Alabama Gulf Coast. We had one day that was 80 degrees, the next day was 30, and then the following day, 80 degrees again. That one day was our winter time. That was it, okay? I know, and all my friends up north right now are going, oh, why are you saying this? Why are you telling us this? You know, they've got like 30 feet of snow already, and it'll be that way until May. But down here, no, sir, we're heading into summer already. Our seasons are quite short-lived. And being from New Jersey, you know, this is quite a shock to the system. Even after living here for 35-plus years, I still have a hard time adjusting to it. It's something I just can't get out of my system. I'll look at the calendar, and I'll see it's late September. And I get excited, like the leaves will start turning all different colors, red, orange, yellow. And they never do. It's so depressing. And I had to actually plant a red maple tree out in the front yard so I'd have a little red color in the fall. You know, that's how it is. And then I'll look at the calendar again, and now it's late November, early December, and I'm waiting for some cold and some snow, and oh, it doesn't happen. Again, I'm disappointed. It's like, oh, I can't get over this. For some reason, I can't shake it. And I know it's life on the Gulf Coast, but that's how I am. You know, it's that Jersey part of me that just, I can't let go of this. And, you know, my family, though, my wife and daughter are from down here, so they'll be watching the television weather, and they'll say it's going to be 90 degrees today in the middle of January, and they'll be all excited. Yes, summer is here. And I'm out there begging, please, just one cold day is all I ask, one. But I exaggerate, because we do, hard to believe, but we do get some cold winter weather down here, strung together like 3 or 4 days of cold weather. One time it was like 9 degrees for 2 or 3 days. And we've had snow, about an inch of snow one time. And we've also had an ice storm, about a half inch of ice laying all over the place. And those times, you know, even though I love winter, at those times, I really feel bad for those folks who live down here, who are from here, because they've never had to really experience a true winter. The stores down here, they don't sell winter clothes. You know, the best you get is a sweater, maybe a fleece, and that's about it. So when the cold weather hits, people are freezing, and I feel bad for them. The one thing that I really love to watch when I'm down here is when it gets cold enough and it's cloudy and we get snow. One snowflake will fall from the sky from about 10,000 feet, okay? This one snowflake, and it'll land on the highway and stick. The area goes into emergency mode. I'm not kidding. Schools close down. People call in sick from work. They ransack the supermarkets, and they clean the shelves off. There's no bread left. They go buy candles in case the power goes off. And inevitably, one person driving their car will find that one snowflake on the highway and skid off the road when they hit it. Oh, it's a hoot, wintertime down here on the Gulf Coast. It is. But, you know, the one thing, though, about the winter that I really, really, truly love is the memories that it brings back. You know, sure, there's Christmas time in the middle of the season, but it's just winter in general. I mean, even down here, you know, it gets cool, it gets cold. Up north, you're constantly in the cold. You got snow. You spend more time with your friends and family during that time, and you make some remarkable memories. And even today, you still make those memories, but it's a little harder because you got to, you know, yank the iPhone and the iPad away from people. But you still make those memories. And I have some vivid memories of growing up in New Jersey during the wintertime. Oh, it was just a spectacular season for me. I just loved it. One of my memories is that the house that we lived in northern New Jersey, was so old, you might as well not even have the windows closed during the wintertime, okay? The wind would howl through the window so bad, it'd blow things off your desk, you know? So what my dad would do was he would take the screens off. Now, these weren't the screens like you have today, you know, the little vinyl 1-foot by 2-foot screens. These were solid wooden screens, the size of the window. And what he would do is he'd take all the screens off the windows, and he'd buy rolls of that Visqueen plastic. It's that roll of opaque plastic sheeting, something like you'd use in a greenhouse, right? And he would cut them just a little bit bigger than the windows, the frames of the screens, and he would staple them on real tight. And then he put the screens back on, and that would block a lot of the wind from coming in the house in the wintertime. The only problem is, as you walk through the house, you felt like you were in a greenhouse. I'm not kidding. You know, you walk into my bedroom, and it's like, where are the plants growing? Oh, it was something to behold, this plastic all over the house. And to make it worse, I used to like building balsa wood airplanes, remote control airplanes, and U-control planes, you know, gas-powered, where you could fly them yourselves and all, but they were made of balsa wood. And to put them together, you didn't use just regular white Elmer's glue or something like that. No, no. You had to use epoxy. And some of you folks out there, you've built these planes before, and you know what I'm talking about. You get two tubes of this epoxy, and you'd have to mix this together. And the odor that came from it was a toxic mixture. Boy, you'd get sick smelling this stuff. So here I am in this room, in my bedroom, building this plane, you know, and all the windows are all plasticed off, and I'm mixing this epoxy. Many times I'd find myself out on the driveway. I'd shovel off a spot on the driveway, and I would do it outside, so I didn't have to smell this stuff. Terrible. The one thing I loved about growing up in the north in the wintertime was snow days. Oh, I love snow days. Every kid loves snow days. And what those were special days set aside by the school board so that in case there was a weather emergency, they could shut school down. And the trouble was, though, it had to be a real emergency. I mean, real emergency. You could have snow 20 feet deep, snow banks, you know, drifts of snow covering your house, and winds just howling at gale force, and they would still keep the schools open. They wouldn't close. I mean, you had to really have an emergency to have a snow day. So they were few and far between. And, you know, and I think author Gene Shepherd said it the best. He said that we were hardier back then. It was a hardier time. And it was. Because if you can march through that kind of snow, 20 feet of snow, to school, boy, you were a hardy bunch. You know, you could tackle anything. You were as tough as Scott of the Antarctic heading to the pole. Oh, tough stuff. So I go to bed one night. I remember this very well. I go to bed one night, and my folks are watching the local news, and the guy on the weather says, well, it's going to be really bad tomorrow, and we're going to have all kinds of bad winter weather. It's going to be an emergency day, so keep your radio and TV tuned, you know. And, I'm getting excited. It's going to be a snow emergency, and we're not going to go to school. It's going to be a snow day, and I'm excited. Yeah, I'm just really excited. And I go up to bed, and I'm singing, we're going to have a snow day. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And I go to bed, go to sleep, and the next morning I wake up, and now I'm really feeling it. My adrenaline's flowing. It's going to be a snow day, and we're going to play outside in the snow, and we're going to go sledding and throw snowballs. It's going to be great. But I have been wrong before, okay? I have been known to be wrong. Even the amazing Kreskin, who's trying to read somebody's mind, gets it wrong sometimes. And I could be wrong this time. So I put on my school clothes anyway. And I go bopping down the stairs. And waiting for me in the kitchen is a big brimming bowl of lukewarm cream of wheat, okay? It's only lukewarm because it took me so long to get downstairs. It wasn't because my mom didn't know how to boil water. But it was just because I was late. So I sit down at the table, and on top of our refrigerator, we had this big Bakelite radio, a humongous behemoth of a radio, the Transoceanic 3000 receiver. just a big radio, and it had just like, you know, a dozen bands on it, and you could pick up things like the ship traffic in New York Harbor. You could pick up the planes landing at Newark Airport. Yeah, I mean, you could pick up everything on this. And of course, it had AM and FM. And she had it tuned to an AM station out of New York City. It was an all-news station, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all news. And it's not like today, you know, where you have these pundits yelling at you constantly, and you have politicians telling you you're wrong, your opinion doesn't matter. Now, it was real news. And, I mean, it wasn't even stuff like, well, Mrs. Blinky's cat is stuck in a tree today. I mean, it was hard news, you know, robberies, murders, you name it. They covered it every day of the week. And this was also the go-to station for school closings. They would announce all the schools that were closed in the New York tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Now, don't get me wrong, we did have television back then. This wasn't the 40s. It wasn't the age of the dinosaurs or anything like that. We had television in all of its black and white greatness, or at least in our house. But the radio was still our main form of information gathering. That's where we would go. We wanted to know about school closings. So we have the radio tuned on there. And every time, it's an AM station, okay? And you know how that is when, you know, like lightning hits nearby, it crackles. Well, every time the furnace blower would kick on, it would crackle, and you could barely hear what the guy was saying. But we managed, okay? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm chowing down on this cream of wheat, and I'm waiting for the school announcements, the school closings to start being announced. And I'm being pelted by commercials. There's all kinds of perfume commercials. You got commercials about the latest suits you can buy at Robert Hall department stores, okay? Ugh, come on, let's go. We got to get to the school closings. And Castro Convertible. If I heard one more Castro Convertible commercial, I would die. That was a commercial for some sleeper sofas back in the day. And the ad said that they were so easy, even a child could do it. And they had this catchy little tune that went with it. And you'd walk out of the house singing this song, you know. Who's first in the convertible line? Castro Convertible. Oh, stop, get it out of my head. So anyway, I'm listening and I'm waiting. And we have to leave for school by 7:30 in the morning. And so now it's 7:15, you know, and I'm, okay, it's about time for them to start the announcements. And I'm waiting and I'm starting to get a little nervous because I'm not hearing any type of announcements about school closing. So maybe I am wrong. You know, I'm starting to really doubt myself. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear the announcer. He starts rustling his papers and they sound like a fire crackling in the background, like just like that, like a big fire going in the background. And he says, "Here now, today's school closings." All right, so here we go. I'm ready. They're going to do the school announcements. And I lean forward so I can get a good listen to what he's going to say, because I know our school's going to be listed. And he starts through the list. And he says, "The following schools will be closed today. St. George, St. Cloud." Of course, the Catholic schools always go first. To this day, I don't think anybody knows how many Catholic schools there are in the Northeast. But there must be thousands of them. And the list goes on and on. He continues on the list reading, "St. Patrick, St. Emmanuel." Yeah, and I'm starting to think, you know, maybe I should go to a Catholic school, because apparently they have the inside connection to let them know when it's going to be a snow day, you know? And the list goes on and on. St. Bernard, St. Larry. And now I'm starting to get worried. It's 7:25 and nothing. No mention of our school yet. And now I'm starting to sweat. My heart's starting to beat. I put my hand up on my chest, and it's just beating out of my chest. Oh, come on. We need a snow day today. You know, I can't be wrong. But I got to get ready. So I jump into my big, thick rubber boots, and I put on this big, huge green parka that my folks bought me. I mean, I look like a tick in this thing. It was just as big. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's what I look like. And it's got that big collar that had the fur rim around it. And I put that on. And the guy continues the announcement. "St. Pius the 21st. St. Pius the 22nd. Oh, no. And I'm really starting to sweat now. I'm starting to get nervous. I'm shaking. I put my mittens on. And I open the door because it's 7:30. The clock chimes 7:30. And I open the door. And as I do, this big howling wind comes in. It takes my dad's copy of the Daily News and blows it all across the kitchen. And just then I hear, "The Mahwah Public School System." Oh. That thud was me hitting the floor. I might have died of a heart attack if it went on anymore. And that's all you heard. Up and down the street, kids just passing out from the sheer exhaustion, waiting for those magic words. Thump, 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 thump. All of them hitting the ground. Thump. Now, you're probably going to think this is really ludicrous. So you got this snow emergency where nobody's going to be traveling around. It's too dangerous to get out. But the kids can go out and play in the snow. Kind of silly, right? Okay, we're closing school because you can't walk in it, but you can go out and play in it. But that is life. That's the way it is. So I immediately get on the phone, and I'm calling all the gang. I'm calling Creek, Badger, Steve, Stretch, Denise. I'm calling them all. And we're going to go sledding, right? We're going to go up to the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain, and we're going to sled. And I think it was Badger who said, we'll break the world speed record for snow sledding. Oh, boy, this is going to be great. We're going to break the world speed record. So we all get ready to go, and we walk out the door and notice it wasn't a snow day. We didn't have a snow emergency. This was an ice storm. It was the biggest ice storm to hit the area in like 75 years. Everything was coated with about a half inch of thick, clear, cold ice. Power lines were creaking from the weight of the ice, getting ready to snap and cut the power to the masses. Tree limbs, just laden with this stuff, were breaking off and hitting the ground left and right. And we had one tree in my yard. It was kind of a bushy tree. And the ice was so thick, it took the top branches and bowed them over, so it made a tunnel. Oh, let me tell you, it was a beautiful sight, that tree. It was just a big, curved wall of ice. Beautiful. And you could walk inside this big ice cave, and the sun's light, the morning sun, would kind of shine through it like a prism, and you'd have these little sparkles of all different kinds of rainbow colors. It was beautiful. It was a bad day, but we were game. We were still going to go break that record for sledding, and we were going to go to the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain. So we start walking up the side of the hill. There's a big swatch of land, big swath, that's cut out from the bottom to the top. They call it a power line. Sometimes there's an actual electric power line that goes down these, or maybe there's some kind of water pipe buried underground in this area. This one here had nothing. It was just a clear path of land through the trees up to the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain. And we were going to climb to the top of this power line and sled down. And so we began walking. The whole gang started walking up to the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain. And we didn't realize it, but the word got out. Kids from all over the area were coming to watch this historic event, and they started coming in mass. All these kids from all over the area following us up the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain. And it was a hard walk, too, because you take one step up and then slide back three. And you take one step up and slide back three. That ice was horrific. And as we're walking up, Denise says to me, you know, Joe, you might die when you're doing this, you know. You might not make it back. And I thought about it. I said, nope, I'm going. I'm going to make history. And if I die, put that on my tombstone. And we kept on going, trudged up to the top. And we finally make it to the top of Hoovenkopf Mountain. And, oh, what a day it was. I mean, just a crowd of kids standing around us. And you hear them murmuring in the background. Several were doing the armchair quarterback thing. A couple of them were saying, no, if you're going to break the record, you got to stay to the left. Got smoother traction over there. So they're doing the armchair quarterback thing. And we're getting ready. Only three of us brought something to try to break the record with. First to go was Creep, and he had one of those plastic snow saucers. It was just a giant concave plastic disc, kind of like a giant contact lens. And it had two ropes that were attached to each side. And you couldn't control these things. Once you started moving, you know, gravity took over and nature took you to wherever you're going to go. And so he gets this saucer, and he puts it at the top of the run, and he puts one foot on the disc, grabs the ropes in both hands, and puts one foot behind him and pushes off. And as soon as he does, the saucer goes flying up in the air. It lands in a snowbank. Creep lands on his back with a thud and knocks all the wind out of him. Okay, so that's the end of his run. The next to go was Badger, and he went the economical route. His family just purchased a brand new refrigerator, and he had kept the box that it came in. So what he had done is he had flattened the box, and he kept one of the end flaps out so he could tip it up and use that to hold on to. And he had that box with him. He's going to slide down this hill on this big cardboard box. So he gets up to the top of the run, and he pushes off, and he's hanging on to that end flap, and he's whizzing down the hill, you know, trees whizzing by. And he gets about a quarter of the way down, and something starts going wrong. And all of a sudden, we realize that the friction from the box on that ice is causing the ice to melt, and is getting the box soaking wet, so that by the time he gets to the halfway point, he hits one bump and the box just disintegrates. Comes apart in all kinds of pieces. Badger goes sliding off and into a snowbank on the side of the trail. Oh, so much for that run. And now it's my turn. And I knew that if there was anybody in the town of Mahwah that could break the speed record for sledding, it was going to be me and my sled, Old Flex. That's right. Yeah, Old Flex. It was such a beautiful sled, I had to name it, okay? It was an American Flyer, flexible flyer sled. It was built in Canada, had the most beautiful deck I'd ever seen in the sled. It was this real shiny oak material, some northern hardwoods, and it had this control horn you grab onto, your left hand, your right hand on both sides, and when you turned it, it would bend the runners just enough to turn you to the left or to the right. But the thing that caught my eye the most was the ad in Boys Life magazine that went on and on about the runners themselves, the metal runners that were underneath the deck. They said that they had a special powdered coating that would slice through even the smallest amount of snow. Well, that's all well and good if you had snow. But we had an ice storm. Who knows what these runners would do on the ice? I could die by the end of this run. And I think everybody else knew it as well, because everybody turned their backs so they wouldn't see what was going to happen to good old Joe. But I had no time to think about death, because I was going to break that speed record. So I take Old Flex and I put him in the starting gate. And I grab the control horn. And like a world-class bobsledder, I push the sled forward once and bring it back. And I push it forward again, a second time, and bring it back. And on the third push, I run as hard as I can and jump on the back of Flex, and whoosh, down the hill we go, just like a rocket. And I don't know how fast we were going, but I swore I was going to black out at any moment. I mean, it was fast. Trees are whizzing past my head. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And the icy cold wind is stinging my eyes. I mean, I've got tears welling up and just flowing down my face. I couldn't see where I was going. I was just praying I was still in the middle of the track. And by the time I got my eyes cleared, I had already reached the bottom of the hill. I had done it. I had made it to the bottom of the hill, and I had broken the record. But trouble was, this wasn't a snow run. You know, if you're going to go sledding in the snow, you know, you can kind of just roll off into the fluffy snow. But this is an ice run, and Flex had no intention of slowing down. We were going faster and faster down the side of Hoofenkopf. If I jumped off now, it'd be like jumping out of a speeding train. It'd be like suicide. So I take my 2 feet that are dangling off the back of the deck, and I lower my toes down so they could act like a brake on the ice, a little friction. And when I do, whoop! Both boots are ripped off my feet. And so now I'm sledding down this hill barefoot. And I turn around and look, and right in front of me is the main road. The town's main road is right in front of me, and I'm going as fast as humanly possible at this point. I know I'm going to die. But just before I hit the road, I noticed that a sand truck had just entered, and that sand truck was putting a layer of sand there to melt the ice so the townspeople can drive around again. I knew it was about to happen, and it did. That sled hit the road and hit that sand and came to a sudden and abrupt stop. I mean, it just stopped from 60 to 0 in a blink of an eye. Me, on the other hand, I demonstrated Newton's first law of gravity and ended up flying through the air another 30 feet, landing in a row of trash cans. Oh, what a ride. I tell you, you know, this is the stuff that legends are made of, you know? Today, to this very day, decades later, people in the town of Mahwah are still talking about the day that Joe broke the speed record for sledding. Even though we didn't know what the record was, we knew we had broken it. And they still talk about it to this very day. And you know, I had plenty of time after the ride to think about what I had just done. The ride lasted a mere 2 minutes, the resulting hospital stay a remarkably long 7 days. Winter time. Maybe it's not quite all it's cracked up to be. Let me think on it. I'll get back to you.